From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns as he continues a message entitled Prayer, God Answers, the initial portion of a series dealing with the vital matter of prayer. For many Christian people, prayer is a hit-or-miss affair. They know that they should pray, but they have little idea of how to go about it. Yet the Scriptures give clear instructions about this wonderful privilege of communication with the God of heaven and earth. Especially do we find clear teaching on the subject in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. From his text in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Dr. Cairns shows that there are right ways and wrong ways to pray. Yet we have God's promise that if we pray as He commands, we know that He hears us. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in a few minutes. First, however, he addresses today's hot topic, turning the Holy Land into Hollywood.
Some years ago, a group of Bible believers had the bright idea of adding another theme park to Orlando's usual offerings. We all know about Disney, Universal Studios, Wet n' Wild, and a host of other attractions. This theme park was to be altogether different. It was called the Holy Land Experience, and it aimed to transport its visitors back into the land of the Bible. Built in 2001 at a cost of some $16 million, the Holy Land Experience recreated the ancient city of Jerusalem to, quote, take you 2,000 years back in time to the world of the Bible, where it brings to life ancient Israel. Dominating the theme park is a towering replica of Herod's temple. Also on display are recreations of the Qumran caves, the site of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the garden tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness. There's also an Ark of the Covenant light and sound show, and a Byzantine scriptorium where tourists learn about the history of Bible production. The model of Old Jerusalem is marvelous and gives a clear picture of the background of many of the events of Scripture. When I visited the Holy Land Experience a few years ago, the project was clearly not complete. Nevertheless, it was an enjoyable experience. A pastor with a quick wit gave tours of the model city. And I must say that in a very tasteful and tactful way, he made his presentation a clear witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I didn't like was the film in which we had an actor portraying the Lord Jesus Christ. But all in all, I found the exhibit a very worthwhile venture, and I hoped that it would draw sufficient crowds not only to survive the strong commercial competition for tourist dollars, but to expand and fulfill its vision. In 2007, Trinity Broadcasting Network, the world's largest religious channel based in Santa Ana, California, bought the park. TBN is a thoroughly charismatic outfit, and while I knew it would bring big bucks to the financially struggling Holy Land Experience, I feared it would turn it into another charismatic circus. I feared that it would not show anything like a due reverence to some of the topics the theme park deals with. My fears have been realized. Paul Crouch, Jr., president of TBN, says that TBN is sprucing up the park and upgrading its shows, and that it will use the Holy Land Experience as a backdrop for TV shows and movies, creating a faith-based Universal Studios. Financially, TBN has made the park more successful, and the facility is now operating in the black and sees 1,500 to 2,500 visitors a day. However, the price has been stiff. Consider the Holy Land's celebration of the crucifixion, as described by the secular media, and I quote, "Amid cell phones ringing, video cams rolling, and ice cream melting under the Florida sun, a blood-spattered Jesus stumbles through the crowd on his way to Golgotha, where nasty Roman soldiers strip him, nail him to the cross, and crucify him, while perspiring tourists look on in Bermuda shorts. After the resurrection sequence, visitors applaud and line up for a photo op, not with Mickey or Minnie, but a disciple or bloody-handed yet friendly centurion." Close the quotes. The reporter rightly detected the Disney-like atmosphere. I'm afraid much of the holy has gone from the Holy Land experience, sacrificed on the altar of crass, charismatic commercialism. What TBN is presenting is a parody of the death of Christ. He's not a spectacle for the entertainment of ice cream licking tourists, and for them to make him so is nothing short of blasphemy. Par for the course for TBN.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
What is prayer? Fundamentally, prayer is the communion of a child with a father. It is communion with God. You know, that's to be. And I have to again back off and say this to me is one of the supreme challenges of Bible Christianity. This is to be the most real thing in the life of a Christian. Communion with God. Nearer than hands and feet. More real than the physical things we touch. Deeper rooted in our hearts than any other experience or any other desire. Communion with God. The Lord Jesus is telling us then, make that the goal. Seek communion with God. Do not seek the commendation of men in this matter of prayer. And then he's telling us, obviously, depend in faith on the love and the power of God our Father. The idea of the fatherhood of God is very much to the fore here. The idea of His love as our Father is very much to the fore. The idea of His power, He knows our need and He's able to meet that need. The idea of His love and power is fundamental to our coming to God in prayer. And the Lord Jesus is saying, get this in your heart. And let your faith take its stand here. That God is your Father. And He loves you. It's easy for us to say that. I've been thinking of this in recent days. I think the most underrated, underpreached, misunderstood doctrine in the whole Bible is the doctrine of the love of God. There are people who paint it in terms of sentimental, trashy talk. That is far removed from the holy majesty of God. And there are other people who, like me, are committed to what the Bible teaches in the great areas that men call Calvinism or the Reformed faith, who have God all tied up in a little hyper-Calvinistic box. I read of a young preacher of the strict Baptists in England in the last century who got up and looked at his people, every one of whom would have been a professing Christian in his little assembly. And he looked at them and said, I'm sure there are some of you, God hates you. He will always hate you. He has hated you. He'll never do anything else but hate you. And no matter what you do or what you want or what you try, He'll hate you still and damn you because He hates you. The man was a madman. And a bad man. And a liar. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. I have to confess, as a preacher for many, many years preaching the Bible, I have made many attempts to preach on the love of God. And I think I've come up empty or almost empty every time. When I have used the greatest vocabulary of which I am capable, when I have used the deepest thoughts and the most extensive imagination of which I am capable, when I have looked up every verse and I have tried to understand it, yet I am like a little child standing a half an inch deep on the edge of the great Atlantic Ocean. How great is the love of God! And especially as God's children, how great is His love to us. And yet when we come to pray, we have this lying idea of our God as a hard, vengeful, sort of whimsical person, a person who, on a whim, might bless you today and curse you tomorrow. Always standing with a big stick ready to clobber you at the least opportunity. I know God is holy.
I know God is majestic. But the light of biblical revelation is God is love. Not only God does love, but God is love. When I come to the Lord in prayer, that's what I've got to be aware of. God is my Father, who loves me with an everlasting love. True prayer is to depend on, in faith, on the love and the power and the willingness of our God. If the Lord Jesus teaches us anything, He teaches us to speak honestly. To speak honestly in prayer. To speak openly. In Hebrews 4, for instance, when we are told in verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. The idea of boldness is with free speech. Uninhibited speech. Now, by uninhibited, I do not mean, as I've said, gabbling and stupid and thoughtless, but I mean the lack of inhibition so that we can be honest with God. We can be honest with God. We can honestly open our hearts to the Lord. We don't, look, He sees our hearts. We don't need to try to put on a show. We're not going to fool God anyway. But let's come with honesty and speak honestly to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us to speak humbly to the Lord. To deal with this flesh and its pride and its desire to have the commendation of men. The desire of the flesh that even prayer would serve it. The Lord Jesus is saying, deal with that and speak honestly and humbly and heartily. And if verse 8 says anything, it's saying, pray simply. Pray simply. Acknowledge your personal need in prayer. Acknowledge that the Lord can meet that need in prayer. Now, when you bring those two acknowledgments together, they will involve adoration of God and confession of sin. Those are parts of prayer. Adoration and confession. But basically, they must lead us to asking. Asking the Lord to meet our need. One modern writer summed up this and the following, what's called the Lord's Prayer, in very simple language that a child could understand. As a writer, I would very rarely quote, because he was suspect in so many things. But honesty compels me to say I think he got to the heart of the matter here. And I quote, Jesus says to us, when you pray, remember that God is your Father and your King. And that therefore you go to one in whom love and power are equally combined. When you pray, do not hesitate to tell God about your daily needs. When you pray, do not shrink from telling God about your mistakes. I may add, even worse than mistakes, your most abominable sins and crimes. When you pray, never forget to place the unknown future and all its perils in the hands of God. Now, those are things that are simple enough for a child to understand. Pray simply. And usually pray briefly. There's no place where Solomon's dictum is more true, that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. C.H. Spurgeon said that its strength not length that counts in prayer. I think it was Billy Bray, the great Welsh roaring Methodist, great soul winner. You could write, I suppose, his theological training on your thumbnail. But when it came to knowing God and having the love of God in his heart and the power of the Holy Ghost in his life, Billy Bray, the coal miner, was one of the mightiest men that Wales produced. And when somebody asked him about praying, he gave them an illustration. He went over and he took an ornament from the shelf, a silver thing that would have to be polished. That in itself was a miracle that showed how God had saved a penniless drunkard and at least given something he could shine. And he took it down and he dusted it off and shined it. He said, you see, it doesn't take very long if you do it often. It doesn't take long. And I think there's a lot of truth in that with a matter of prayer. Usually pray briefly. I was interested to read what a great Church of England preacher of the last century had to say. C.H. Waller. And Waller said that we should spend less time in prayer and more time in meditation about what we should be praying about. Instead of stumbling without a moment's preparation or without a moment's thought to gabble in the presence of God, usually meaningless, trite words. We should take time to let the Word sink down into our heart. We should take time to let the Word inform our heart. We should let our thoughts be formulated in worship, in praise, in adoration, in confession, in asking. We should let our words be formulated by the meditation. And when we know why we're there and what we're there for, we'll be able to pray more briefly. Now, this is not to save time in prayer. Actually, it may take a lot more time. But it is to save the integrity of prayer. Usually, pray briefly and often. And pray in secret. Withdraw from company and withdraw from distractions. As I've said, this is not a ban on public church prayer meetings. What happens in a prayer meeting is the church gets into its closet, as it were. It's withdrawing from the company and the distractions of the world in order that we should concentrate intensely upon the Lord. And that comes to the very heart of true prayer. And the man or the woman, whether they pretend to pray or not, the person who does not get alone with God to concentrate intensely upon the Lord is not praying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.